song is about the millennial reign of Christ there in all nations, and we'll be there. Amen. And take your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 19 to 24. We're working our way through Matthew, and we're in the Sermon on the Mount, the character and the conduct of a Christian. And tonight, Jesus, I believe, poses a question to us. Which life are you living for? Which life are you living for? Let's look at our text tonight, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He's been talking about contrasting scribes and Pharisees with their giving, their fasting, and their almsgiving, and their prayer. And now he talks about how a Christian should view wealth. Wealth is whatever possessions you have. When we talk about wealth, we're not talking about you have to have $1 million in the bank, right? Wealth is whatever you have. And beginning in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, in verse 22 and 23, it seems to be difficult at times with these two verses, but we'll look at it. The light of the body is the eye. It is therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you living for heaven or earth? Are you living for eternity or time? Are you living for the eternal or the temporary? Are you living for the spiritual or the physical? And again, Jesus is contrasting, again, everything in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7, he's talking about true righteousness, which is different from the outward righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, in our text, Jesus warns us about living for the things of this life. So that's the question, which life are you living for? Nowhere did Jesus ever magnify poverty or criticize the legitimate getting of wealth. You know, you don't have to be poor to go to heaven, and you don't go to hell because you're rich, right? It's what you do with it and how you view it, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. God made all things, including food, clothing, and precious metals. And God has declared that all things he has made are good. In fact, he has given us richly all things to enjoy. Now, it is wrong to possess things. It is not wrong to possess things, but it is wrong for things to possess us. You don't have to be around somebody too long to understand whether or not they possess their possessions or their possessions possess them, right? It's very clear. Now, a lot of Christians don't think about this, but covetousness and the sin of living for this life and the things of this life is, the Bible calls it the sin of idolatry. Anything you put ahead of God is idolatry. Now, we as Christians have whitewashed our sins. I don't rob a bank. I don't do this. I don't do that. And we're thinking we're okay. But the sin of materialism, it's called, has overtaken America. The hedonism, they call it. It's a very dangerous sin. And there are many warnings in the Bible against covetousness. In Luke 12, 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Ephesians 5, 5 says, for this we know, that no whoremonger or nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of the God. So Jesus warned about the sin of living for the things of this life. And he pointed out the consequences of the sin of idolatry. Now, we can become shackled by the material things of life. I know people that are like that. But we ought to be liberated and controlled by the Spirit of God. See, God wants us to be controlled by the Spirit of God. God doesn't want us to have things possess us. He wants us to be freed up to use His money for His kingdom work, right? That's why missionaries, before they go on the mission field, they sell everything they got because they don't want anything that's going to hamper and hinder. They want to be available to God. And I understand that. Faye and I want to be available to give to whoever's in need. We don't want to be shackled with so much stuff that we can't do the kingdom work, right? And that's what he's talking about. Now, Jesus said it's very dangerous, the sin of materialism. In fact, in our text, he gives three dangers of materialism. Now, let's look at the first one in verses 19 through 21. Materialism will control the heart. Materialism will control the heart. Now, don't get me wrong today. It's not wrong to have things, and it's not wrong to have nice things, and it's not wrong, you know, to make a living, a good living for your family. But if you make a good living for your family and they die and go to hell, what have you done, right? Now, understand this. The most important thing that you can give your children is a relationship with Jesus Christ. They might, like Brother Glenn said this morning, they may go to the best schools, be a doctor, this, that, and other, and make gobs of money. But do they love God and do they serve God? You know, that's what it's all about. Brother Glenn's not going to be the only one saying amen tonight, is he? Is he? Okay, amen, right? Now, materialism will control the heart. Notice what he said in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, as I said, I want to look at those two words, lay up and treasures, and I found out something very interesting. The word lay up and treasures come from the same Greek word. And what it means is, when we get our English word, if I can say this right, I can't say it right. Thesaurus, right? You know what I'm talking about? Thesaurus. Yeah, that too. Thesaurus. Well, you look up antonyms and synonyms. Preachers do that a lot, right? We can look up and see, what word can I use here instead of that word? Thesaurus. Okay, say it with me now. Thesaurus. See, I can say it when y'all help me, right? So, the treasury of words. So what does it mean? Literally, in the Greek, it says, do not treasure up treasures for yourself. That's what it means. That's the key to Jesus' warning here. Y'all don't laugh at me now, okay? That's the key to Jesus' warning here. We accumulate possessions simply for our own sake. We hoard selfishly, and our own possessions become our idols. That's the wrong attitude, and the use of wealth is a sin of idolatry. Anything that keeps you out of church has become your God.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Anything that keeps you out of church has become your God. If the heart loves material things and puts earthly gain above the heavenly investments, then the result can only be a tragic loss. I'm not saying these people are not saved. I'm just saying they're not going to have many rewards when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
The treasures on earth may be used for God. You know, that's what God blesses. If God blesses us financially, it's because he wants to use us in his kingdom.
Amen.
If we gather material things for ourselves, we will lose them, right?
Right.
Now, understand this. I know some people that they spent their whole life trying to gain their wealth and then spend the rest of their life trying to keep people from taking it away from them, right? I remember what Adrian Rogers says. We work and we earn all this money. And then we spend the end of our life guarding it so nobody can take it from us.
Yeah.
He said we work our whole life, first part of our life, gaining wealth, and we lose our health. And the last part of our life, we've lost our health, and then we lose our wealth, right?
Right.
That's what he said. So you understand that, you know, God has taken care of our needs, right?
Amen.
Yes, I'd like to have a new car. You know, are y'all listening to that? The Lord lays you on your heart. We can use one, right? But I'm telling you something. You know, I'd rather drive what I drive with 254,000 miles on it and be free to give my money to whatever cause I want to give it to, right?
Yeah.
And you understand that. Boy, I'm glad Oral Roberts is not here, or Benny Hinn, man. He could call down a new Cadillac for me, right?
He wouldn't have a title.
No, that's right. That's right. I know a lot of people that have a lot of money, but they don't have any spiritual wealth.
That's right. Amen.
And I know a lot of people that don't have much physical wealth, but they're rich spiritually,
amen,
right? What does it mean to lay up treasures in heaven? Well, let me share some thoughts with you. It means to use all we have for the glory of God. It means to hold loosely to the things of this life, the material things. Hold lightly to them. They're not yours to start with. They were given to you to borrow for the kingdom work. It also means measuring life by the true riches of the kingdom and not by the false riches of the world. You know, the world is so confused, and in their mindset, they think that you don't amount to nothing unless you have some material things, right? And I know that God is taking care of Faye and I, and we have a roof over our head, and we have this, and we have that. We have food on the table. We have clothes on. Well, definitely we do. We don't come to church naked, do we? But we have clothes and all that. We have everything we need, right, honey? Okay, see, I got to go in my right direction here now. So materialism will control the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do you know where people's heart is? Well, look at their checkbook. Look at their checkbook, and you'll see where their heart is, right? And then secondly, materialism will control the not only the heart, but the mind. And we read verses 22 and 23. It might seem to be difficult, but what it says is this: wealth not only controls the heart, but it also controls the mind. God's word often uses the eye to represent the attitudes of the mind.
Yeah.
If the eye is properly focused on light, the body can function properly in its movements. But if the eye is out of focus and seeing double, it results in unsteady movements. It is most difficult to make progress while trying to look in two directions at the same time. You know, I often get up at night, and you know what you get up at night for, and I don't particularly pay any attention to where I'm walking, and I'll hit the, what do you call that, the four bedpost on the floor? Man, y'all don't know nothing, huh? And I'll be walking around the bed, and I'll be barefooted, you know, and my toes will hit the bed leg. And Faye can tell you. I said, honey, get your pad and your pencil and write this down, you know, because I can't curse, you know. You can't see your way in darkness, right? And that's what he's talking about here. The point is, if our aim in life is to get material gain, it means that we have darkness within. But if our outlook is to serve and glorify God, there will be light within. And what should be light is really darkness. Then we are being controlled by darkness, and outlook determines outcome. So the way we view and use our money is a sure barometer of our spiritual condition, of our spiritual health. And our checkbook, again, our finances, reveals our heart and where our treasure is. Is your yard full of treasures? Is your garage full of treasures? Right? No, it's not. Where is your treasure? Is it investing in the kingdom cause? Is it investing in the cause of the kingdom and kingdom things? You know, that's why we love giving to the missionaries, because when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to share in their reward, right?
Yeah, right.
When they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then materialism will control the will. Do you see that? The heart, the mind, the will. Look in verse 24. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he is hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, you can't be in the world and love the world, and yet at the same time love God. You know, I love creation. I love the things, the beautiful things that God has created, but we don't love the world system apart from God, you know. We are not like them. We don't believe like them anymore. We have a different mindset. You know, we don't, our vision, our spiritual vision, and we don't have the same outlook on things as they do. You know, we see it through the grid of Scripture, right? That's what we were talking about this morning. But if materialism will control the will, we cannot serve two masters simultaneously, and there are a lot of people sitting in our churches that are trying to do just that. And it can't happen. Either Jesus Christ is our Lord or our money is our Lord, right? Well, there's a lot of illustrations I give, but you'll swear that I'm talking about you, right? So, Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare. And y'all know me. I've been here 18. I'm an expositor preacher. I preach the text, book by book. And nobody in this church can ever say the preacher was preaching at me this morning, because that was a text that I had in mind. It was in the Scriptures, right? And it's in the Scriptures. I'm going to preach it. It's not like I pulled it aside just to attack somebody, right? And y'all know that. And it's amazing how God will have us in a book right where we need to be at that time. But no man can serve two masters. I like what John Calvin said. He says, where riches hold the dominion of the heart, God has lost his authority. Our treasure is either on the earth or in heaven. Our master is either God or possessions and earthly goods. Do you let earthly goods and possessions control you in decisions and things like that? You know, I'm glad we don't have much, because when it comes time to die, we don't have to worry about people getting anything we got, because we don't have much, right? We don't have to cut them out of our will, because they no more than what we got, they don't want to be in our will, right? Y'all follow my drift? So I asked you again, which life are you living for? God's not saying a party pooper. He's not saying you can have a good time. He's not saying you can have nice things. But if those things hinder you in the kingdom work, then they become your God, right? And that's what he's saying. What controls your heart, your mind, and your will? Your choices reveal where your treasure is. You know? What a novel thought. Giving $1,000 to a missionary to buy a new van or go out and buy a new car. Boy, we're plowing close to the corn tonight. I know that. Yes. What about it? You know, what life are you living for? I shared with you several times about what's the old crazy guy in Houston? Has the big church, Joel Osteen. He wrote a book, right? Your Best Life Now. Y'all remember that? Man, I don't like to go in bookstores, because if I see something like that, I got to say something to the bookstore owner, right? Your best life now. And John MacArthur said for him it might be, right? Our problem is we want self-gratification in the flesh right now. We can't wait till we get to heaven to see what God has for us, right? So we want it in the flesh right now. What controls your heart? Your mind, your will. Look at your checkbook. Look at the choices we make. Because our choices reveal our heart, right? You know, it's so sad. You heard about Rockefeller, what he said? Somebody asked him, how much more money do you want? He had enough. He couldn't spend all the money he had. What did he say? Somebody tell me. $1 more. $1 more, right? $1 more. And the founder of Walmart, somebody asked, you know, what did he, when he died, what did he leave? Tell me, somebody, how much did he leave? He left it all, didn't he? Right? I am glad that we do not. John and Amy, I hate to disappoint you, but there ain't going to be no fussing over what we got when we die. Right? There won't be whatsoever. You know? We live from mouth hand to mouth, or foot to mouth, or whatever, you know. We live that way. That's the way we live, right? And man, wouldn't it be something if I left here tonight and I went out there and there's a brand new pickup truck out there? Huh? Right? I'll be a convert then. I believe in Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland and all them right then, you know. Right? If that were to happen, I'd send them money, you know. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No invitation tonight. We're not going to have one, but we're going to be on a difficult passage in 2 weeks, in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. The sin of worry. The sin of worry. Why worry? That's what I'm going to tell you. Because Jesus tells us in those verses, in verses 25 through 34, why do you worry? Why worry? Why worry? I remember when I was doing the pest control business, I was doing a plantation south of here, headed toward Monticello, and I won't tell you the name of it, but they lived in the lane that went up to their big mansion. It says, No Worries Boulevard. You know? When I first saw that, I said, man, these people have it made. But then the next thought, I said, do they know Jesus? Right? Because if they don't know Jesus, they got a lot to worry about. Right? Where is your church? What life, which life are you living for? We can live for the here and now, or we can live and lay up treasures in heaven. Father, we thank you again tonight for your word. These words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount are very convicting. Very convicting, Lord. And because we say, well, there's no way that I can attain to that high plane of living that he shares in the Sermon on the Mount. But Lord, these are not suggestions. These are not opinions. These are not, oh, by the way, if you want to go by it and live by it, it's not those. This is what God expects from his kingdom children. So, Father, teach us from your word as we continue to go through the book of Matthew. And as we get into the book of Romans in a couple of weeks, as we talk about the benefits and the results of being justified, out of that flows the question, why the truly saved will never be lost. And we look forward to looking at that text in the coming weeks. So protect us as we go our way. We pray that you use us to be a witness, use us to rebuke someone, to encourage someone, to speak truth to somebody's heart and mind. Lord, it just baffles me how many, even in the church, have no idea what's going on prophetically in our nation and in our world. So, Father, teach us to be help us to be a light and a witness to these dark days we live in. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's men and women said, Amen. Amen.